Welcome to the Voices of the Shackled and Unshackled, a prison ministry podcast inspired by the Word of God, led by the Holy Spirit. This is a Christ-centered ministry, bringing hope in Jesus Christ. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not." Now, let's join your host, Brother Branch, as he shares God's Word.
Welcome to our broadcast. I'm Brother Branch, your host and servant of the Lord. To God be the glory. For many years, men and women have been God's faithful servant and messengers behind prison walls, serving in every type of facility from supermax to medium to low security. A brief description of their role as a prison chaplain is to meet the religious needs of inmates. Their duties and responsibilities vary from state to state and from facility to facility. Most chaplains perform a wide range of functions, from administrating religious programs, to training volunteers, to advising other prison staff members. We invite you to join us in our series entitled Chaplains Behind Prison Walls.
Today, our guest will share with us insights of being a prison chaplain. But first, let us pray. Father God, we invite your Holy Spirit to teach us, Lord, to speak through us and to enlighten us about your servant, your messenger, one you have chosen, Lord, to do your work in places that many never get to see. So we ask, Lord, that you would lift her up right now. Lift up all the chaplains throughout as they work on your behalf. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're reading from Matthew 25, verses 35 through 36. "For I was hungry, and ye gave me food. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. A stranger, and ye welcomed me. Naked, you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me." Those who are incarcerated need our support. They need visitors. They need letter writers. They need folks that help with their families. But we have one special person that attends to more needs than we could ever believe. And so I'd like to welcome our special guest, Chaplain Brown. Welcome, Chaplain.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for taking time out your busy day. I would like to start out with you just giving us a little bit of information about who you are and what you do.
Oh, thank you. Well, as you said, my name is Lisa Yvette Brown. I'm the chaplain at Haynesville Correctional Center. And what I do is that I'm in charge of all religious programs in the facility, and then I'm the pastor of the Protestant church. Currently, we have 47 approved religions functioning within the DOC, but currently I have 18 programs functioning. And my job is to of course share God with everybody and be God and have a presence here in the prison.
Amen.
That's pretty much what I do.
That sounds like an awful lot.
Yes, it is.
And how long, let's just start with, how long have you been a chaplain?
I've been a chaplain for 13 years.
And that leads us into our question. What would I need to do or anyone need to do to be qualified to be a chaplain within the state of Virginia?
The qualifications is that you have a Master's of Divinity degree and hopefully maybe have volunteered prior to applying to be a chaplain so you can have a better idea of what it's like being inside the prison and making sure that you can handle it emotionally and spiritually.
So a master's in divinity, and how long does it take you to acquire that?
A master's of divinity is a graduate degree that took me 4 years.
So when you look back,
My program was 4 years.
So when you look back at high school or your early college, did you see yourself becoming a chaplain?
No, I did not. Although I've been in ministry since I was 13, I was a part of an organization called New Life, which is also Young Life, on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And so, we were able to share the Lord with them after we built a relationship, and through, recreation and taking them to camp. So back then, I knew that I was going to be a part of ministry, and then, of course, ordained ministry, but not prison ministry. That wasn't. I knew I was supposed to be a pastor, but I didn't think it. I knew it wasn't a regular traditional pastor, and that's how I got here.
So you feel and know for certain that God had called you into this ministry, and I heard you talk about early commitment. So how did that early commitment help you answer this call into chaplaincy?
The early commitment helped me by going through the stages that I've gone through in terms of serving in ministry, whether that was with dealing with youth and then going to deal with the young people and then now dealing with adults. And so I think it was a natural progression for me to be able to get to prison ministry after I was exposed to it by my mentor in ministry.
A natural
her
calling.
Her name is Chaplain. Yeah, Chaplain Rodney introduced me to prison ministry, and that's when I realized that that's what God had called me to through ordained ministry.
Amen. Does your work as a minimal or maximal security level, have you worked in more than one, and what type of facility are you working in now?
I started at the federal prison in a minimal maximum security. Now I'm in a state prison. We are a lower level 1-2 reentry and training for sex offenders and other offenders to be ready to go back into society.
And for our audience who may not understand the terminology of the security level, can you briefly give us an idea about medium and maximum and level 1, level 2 facilities?
Maximum security is a level 5. And then you work your way down from level 4, 3, 2, and 1. So they earn their way down from there to be from, first of all, being incarcerated for several years onto a level 5. And that's usually meaning violence. And it depends on where they start. But then by behavior and programming, they're able to earn their way down to the level to be able to come home.
Amen. Okay. What is one perception you had about being a prison chaplain that was not a reality?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. The perception that it would be easy. I realized that, first of all, I started with, when you asked me which level of prisons I've been at several levels, but I've also had male and female prisons. And believe it or not, as a female chaplain, I find it easier and more comfortable to be with the men. Their men are more respectful, I believe, to the women. And the misconception that I had that it would be easy. But I will say being with the men has made it more comfortable for me to be able to minister to them because they are more respectful.
So now we'll talk about some duties. There's a perception of people, and not everybody really understands exactly what you do. So can you give us some idea about what, I don't want to say a day, because I think every day is different, but what are some of the duties of a prison chaplain?
A lot of the duties of the prison chaplain right now in the DOC, it consists of a lot of paperwork, and it's really organizing making sure that all of the different, different holidays that come up that each religion has, that they make sure that those programs run well, whether that includes a meal, a special programming and so forth and so on. Then it also includes individual counseling, being available spiritually for the whole compound. And by the way, my facility houses 1,000 men, and we average about 900 of capacity right now. So whatever their needs are in terms of needing to talk to someone, whether they lost a family member, usually they're afraid getting ready to go home, just needing someone to talk to get their head straight in terms of how do they adjust from being in prison and incarcerated to being back on the street. So a lot of people come to me to talk their way through, as well as they're utilizing their counselors in other programs.
So what is the difference between a chaplain and a pastor?
I don't think there's much of a difference, because when you look at it, the population is my congregation. The difference is that everybody may have a different need they may practice differently how they in terms of denomination of how they worship and utilize their religious programs versus being out on the street as a pastor. I'm still over the congregation. I still pastor them. It just looks different for every religion.
How do you make sure that the needs of those different congregations, those different ministries, different religious services are being met?
One of the best ways that they're being met is that we have volunteers. And that's how you and I have met, as being a volunteer. There's a majority of the denomination do have volunteers, but a lot of the different religions do not. So I would say that my volunteers come through Muslim and Christian. But again, I have several other ministries that are functioning, like Asa True and others that are inmate-led. So I may not know specifically what their beliefs are and what their belief system is. I just make sure that I provide whatever they may need in terms of a worship bowl or whatever denomination, whatever they need for worship.
What is one area that you have found to be challenging, and how have you dealt with?
The area that I find challenging mostly right now is policies that happen within the DOC. They can change from day to day. Whether there's a lot of things, we have to remember that the main function of the prison is security. Sometimes we can get lax in thinking or get comfortable, in the different levels of security. And I think for me, besides security, the policies of DOC that change regularly. The hardest thing for me to do is dividing myself and my time to make sure that I give some respectful time to each leader of each religious group. So that's where I find the most difficult time, because I'm not here. I'm a part-time chaplain, and I'm doing a full-time job.
Wow.
And so I can't really be at every, and I'm not required to be at every religion, but I'm required to be available to each group.
So how has your personal faith, your personal walk been as you've grown in this job?
My personal faith has definitely grown. I've been a Christian since I was 10 years old, but I would definitely say coming into the prison, I'm learning how to invoke the Holy Spirit in my life daily. I have to be prepared to be in a spiritual warfare every day. I can't come in last. I got to be prayed up, and I got to be sure of what I believe and who my God is. And so what it has happened for me is that it has made me dig in more and to be more present with God and consciously be present with Him 24 hours a day, and especially when I'm here. And then driving home is my time that I use to decompress, because I commute over an hour a day. So that is my decompression time, will end my preparation time for when I come to the prison every day.
As your walk with God has grown and your faith has grown, how has that impacted those that you come in contact with every day, be it the inmates and or staff members?
I think it really, I can see the growth in terms of my relationship with staff members, because it has given, it gives me the confidence, because I'm not just here as a chaplain to the prisoners, to the inmates, but I'm also here for staff. And time to time, staff do come to me, I'm going through. And what I do is that I stop right then and I pray with them, because I can. You know, I try to pray and invoke the Holy Spirit and invoke God in any program that I'm involved in, because, for instance, prayer cannot happen in terms of DOC in any other programming, but religious programs. So whenever I'm around, I'm going to bring the Spirit. So I think that that has helped me. The relationship that I've gone deeper has shows, and it makes me more attractive to, in terms of my spirit, more attractive to other people, and especially staff.
Can you share a positive experience or story that you've had on someone or someone has had on you while being a chaplain?
A positive experience. I think one of the most positive experiences, first developing relationships, that I get to develop relationships with the inmates. And not you know, nothing inappropriate, of course, but the dialogue, I should say, to be able to have the open dialogue. And one of what I love the most is when I tell the guys all the time, and if you talk to them, I tell them that if you leave the prison, that means you owe me a hug when I see you out on the street. You know, but if I see you back in here, if you come back in, it's going to be a problem. And so they know that I love them. I tell them that I love them, because I'm the only one that can say that, and that God loves them. Help me again with the question. I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent.
That's okay. We're talking about a personal or positive experience you've had with someone, whether it be an inmate or whether it be with a staff member.
I was headed to with the inmates of being able to see them on the street, that I have bumped into. Matter of fact, when I just told you the story, and one day I stopped in to get a sandwich at Subway, and one of the former inmates, now a returning citizen, he said, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "No, I don't." And he said, "Chaplain, I'm," you know, he told me his name, and he said, "And I remember that you owe me a hug." And so I saw him on the street, and I was able to give him a hug, because, you know, that you can't touch them while they're inside here. So he got his hug, and he was able to tell me what he was doing, and he was successfully working. And a matter of fact, he was working with the road. They were out servicing the road. So he got a good job. So it was good to see when they coming into service, and I get to see them in church, and then be able to see them out on the street being a positive returning citizen.
People have their own preconceived ideas and their own impressions about jails and prisons, the work you do and what goes on and all of those different things. And, you know, how would you respond to someone who's listening to this to have their own notions and ideas about prison, whether it's safety concerns, whether it's day-to-day? What would you say to someone who has concerns about safety and security and what you do and your relationship and working around what they perceive might be all these dangerous people?
I think that, first of all, especially in my level one, level two prison that I'm in, I feel safer in here than I do sometimes on the street. The security and for my facility is well organized in most prisons in terms of security. I think that people have a misconception that what I try to tell them that they are not what they've done. You know, so a lot of people thinking that, oh, you have all these murderers or killers or sex offenders, or, you know, they're labeled by their indiscretion. And I don't label them that way. I just think of them as a human being. I think that if you come in with that attitude that they're human beings and not what they have done, first of all, they respect you. And because you're now giving them respect as a man or a woman and not as a prisoner. And they can tell the difference of the level of respect and that you care for them. For me, again, as a chaplain, I get to tell people that I care for them and God loves them. And then I get a chance and every opportunity. And even though their God may not be the same one I worship, or how they believe they worship, I still tell them, no matter what their religion. So come in, it's safe to come into the prison and serve.
For someone who may be considering working within the institution, specifically as a chaplain, what would you tell them? What advice would you give them regarding that?
I would say before you make that decision that's what you want to do, that I think that you should volunteer. Come into the prison. No matter what religion that you practice, you can always come in as a volunteer for every religion. You can get approved to come in. And once you start volunteering and seeing how religious programs are run and get to know the inmates themselves, then I think that's how you'll get the desire to really know that this is where you've been. And then while you are volunteering, do the appropriate things that you need to do to get qualified, whether that's ordination or higher learning.
So all chaplains are ordained, is that correct?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I forgot to say that earlier in the interview. That's one of the qualifications, is ordination and then a degree.
So final thoughts that you might want to leave our listeners with?
That to going with the scripture that you opened with in terms of Matthew, that the people here in the prison are God's children and that they do deserve to be loved and to be cared for. So pray for us. You know, pray for them that they're strong enough to walk away from the lifestyle that they had and to come home and to really be a productive citizen. So that's what I would say, but please pray for us.
Amen. So would you like to close us out with prayer? Thank you for your time, first of all. Thank you for the work that you do. Thank you for your dedication and your relationship with God, that the Holy Spirit will use you each and every day in the capacity in which He has chosen. Would you close it out with prayer, please?
Yes, I would love to do that. Father, we thank you and we bless you for this time and this opportunity to come and to share, Lord God. And I pray, God, that the people who are listening to this interview, God, will be blessed. Bless Brother Brandt and everything in the ministry that he does. And I thank him for the ministry that he does here at Haynesville Correctional Center. So we bless you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thanks again for the time that you not only give to the inmates, but the time that you give to me when I call and the time that you have given today. God bless you.
And Lord bless you.
Thank you.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Thank you for listening to the Voices of the Shackled and Unshackled, a prison ministry podcast. Until next time, God willing, remember Psalm 18, verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears.